song has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of The Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Superstation. Glad to have you along with us as we've got a very full show again today. We're going to talk everything from football to soccer and baseball and basketball and restaurants and all kinds of cool stuff. Kinds of cool stuff. We bring in our resident expert on having sex in restaurants, a Big Daddy. How you doing?
Because I have absolutely got it on dozens of times in the back of a restaurant. Who hasn't? Who hasn't done that?
Wow.
You know, the poor guy, and you say poor guy, what is he thinking?
I like you. I like sex.
Well, that's what he's thinking. But seriously.
Let's have another one. One more, I gotta go.
Rick.
Come on, one more. Let's just have one more.
I don't care how much alcohol is involved. There's got to come a time where you just go, I'm going to take a cab home. I just take a cab home. This is going nowhere fast. Oh, you want me back there?
1-888-455-ESPN. You can email us anytime, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Coming up on the show today, our high school football preview continues as we go to Lexington, where they had one of their best seasons in a long, long time last season. And Phil Truax is going to join us to talk about the Minutemen coming up in just about 10 minutes. Then around the bottom of the hour, our football preview on the collegiate level will continue with Brian Munson of Scout.com. Obviously, a lot about recruiting. Also, how about these kids that are coming in? Who's really going to do something there? And also on the program today, we'll talk about who's ending up. And our final segment, I should say, of the program today will be a new weekly feature featuring UNK and our Loper Chat with new soccer coach Mike Munch. Their practice has begun. They actually have an exhibition game this weekend. They're cramming a lot into 3 weeks. And, you know, they've been working a lot in the off season, but they're going to be keeping busy meeting and greeting and playing and practicing and getting ready for the season opener on August 27th. So Coach Munch will join us at the end of the show today.
If you're a recruiting fan at all, Doug, you brought it up. But Mr. Munson lives in the Dallas area.
Munson?
He compiles a list of the top 100 players. He does things like that in the state of Texas. He is very close, probably closer than anybody else. You know, I want to know how many of those kids, if you're rated in his top 10, do the whole top 10, do they automatically just go to Texas? I mean, does Texas get those kids? Their recruiting classes are wrapped up that early. If you're interested in recruiting at all and you've got a question out there, we'd be sure to pass that along to him. It should be about half past the hour.
So we will, that's 11:30, right?
Right around there.
Okay. 1-888-455-ESPN, the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Couple of very odd Major League Baseball games last night. Not Detroit and Boston, where they plunk each other, and a great move by the Detroit pitcher to hip toss Kevin Youkilis. You got to hold when you're coming in for physical. You got to do more than just kind of put your fingertips on the bat, Yuke. You got to bring in. You got to bring it all. You got to go for the hips. Got to go for the knees. Throw your helmet at him, you puss. Anyway, the Cubs. The Phillies have 3 hits in 12 innings of baseball, and the Cubs still lose. 4-3, 3 runs, 10 hits for the Cubs, 4 runs, 3 hits for the Phillies. The Cubs had a no-hitter, had a perfect game into the sixth, then a walk followed by the first hit, which was a home run, tied the game at 2, and then the third hit was a home run in the 12th inning, another home run, and Philadelphia wins it 4-3.
You think if the Cubs somehow limp by and even limp into the playoffs?
No.
There's no confidence there.
No.
They're dead, aren't they? They're dead before they even get there.
Well, not. I mean, this is where you find out who's going to get hot. It's time to get hot. It's time to get hot. You've got a month and a half left of your season. Somebody's going to get hot. Somebody's going 30-10. Who's going 30-10? Might not be the Minnesota Twins. 14-6.
It's peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter jelly time. Way at, way at, way at.
You thought they'd only win 2-9 on the road.
Well, there's one of them.
Peanut butter jelly.
Hey, Derek. Well, yeah, go to the Royals website and go to the schedule, and they've got the score of every game. Add up the last how many games 14 runs have been scored total. How many games?
The Royals had their highest run total of the season last night, 14-6, as they beat Minnesota. Miguel Oliva homered, had three hits, drove in three runs. Also, David DeJesus had three hits in the ball game. Joe Mauer, three hits. Orlando Cabrera extended his career best hitting streak to 20 games for Minnesota. Kyle Davies, ooh, this is impressive. One earned run and five hits in five innings. It was like 9-1, and he can only pitch five innings. Yeah. But there's a lot of other news going on out there and just some strange stuff. So let's get to it here off the top of the broadcast today. We start with Virginia Tech all of a sudden maybe not being a top 10 team, maybe not being a national championship contender, and maybe now the spread is closer to even when Nebraska heads out to Blacksburg with starting running back Darren Evans tearing his ACL in practice yesterday.
Yeah, here's a running back, had 256 yards, I believe it was Wake Forest a year ago. One of those great players they expected to have on the field, one of the leaders that they thought on this key skill position people, gone. And you're not talking the first couple weeks, just move him out for the season and have to do one of those redshirt deals, hopefully be able to come back strong a year from now. But he is gone for this year, and that's big news for Virginia Tech.
His loss means that redshirt freshman Ryan Williams, highly regarded freshman David Wilson could be the starter, or Josh Oglesby, who's the only one of those that's actually carried the ball in a collegiate game. You asked about the Royals, Tony. They actually had, you know, they haven't been crushed lately. They haven't been shut out in quite a while, which is kind of amazing. But in August, they got beat 7-1. Then they won 4-1, so they scored four runs. Then they scored 4-6.
Okay.
6. Those two sixes they lost. 8. 4, 12, 3, and 14.
Okay, have been a little bit better offensive production and just losing some of those six. When you score six runs, you expect to gather a couple wins here and there, and they haven't done that.
Let's go to court. Lawrence Phillips.
LP.
He has been found guilty of 7 counts of assault. Phillips had been accused of choking his girlfriend on two occasions in August of 2005, once into unconsciousness. Sometimes that's in California, you don't know what to make of that. Faces up 25 years in prison when he's sentenced next month. Now, of course, he's been in prison for trying to run down those three teenagers with his car in Los Angeles.
In the football field.
Yeah, on the football field. This has happened before then. So he's in for 10. He could get 25 more.
Lawrence Phillips came from a troubled past. I don't want to pile on the guy. Good Lord, though. You just got to figure it out, Lawrence.
It's too late. What about Thunder Collins? His trial has started. The jury has been selected. Really nothing new except Douglas County prosecutors have argued that the shooting in Midtown Omaha, which left one man dead and another seriously wounded, was the result of a botched drug deal. In opening statements, they described Collins as the mastermind behind a plan to rob the men.
Thunder Collins don't really go.
Isn't he the mastermind who said the only reason he had a lit joint blunt in his hand is because he was trying to clean up the neighborhood and pick it up off the lawn?
Helper. He's a helper.
Yeah. So what did Collins' defense attorney argue? The witnesses are lying. Thunder screwed. Joe Gans is going to try out for the United Football League in Orlando next week.
Is that even going to happen?
How does this happen? He signed as a free agent with Washington and then wasn't even invited to training camp? And then nothing came out of
Buffalo's the only one that he actually tried out for,
didn't he? Nothing came out of that tryout. I don't know. He just must not have the right connections there to get hooked up in Buffalo.
But the UFL, it doesn't even have a...
And then Gann says that if the UFL doesn't... This is different. This is an arena. This is United Football League.
But I thought that was bankrupt, too.
If the UFL doesn't pan out, he's going to be with the Husker Radio Network. And then the story says he would also be on a weekly Nebraska football program on public television. Huh, wonder what that show would be. Gee, a weekly program on Nebraska educational television that talks about college football. Maybe we ought to ask Kevin Kugler, Big Red Report. And Ndamukong Suh is on the watch list for the Outland Trophy. He goes to the nation's top interior lineman yesterday. You heard from Curtis Gregory of Missouri, who is one of nine Big 12 players out of those 40 that is up for the Outland Trophy.
Did you happen to see the jewel heist in London, since we're talking about people getting robbed? Going back a little bit. $65 million. The two guys walked into the bank, had a taxi waiting outside.
Hold on. Did you rewind the show? Were we talking about people getting robbed?
Well, I'm just going back a couple stories ago to these bozos in jail and Thunder and that.
It's okay. Go ahead.
$65 million.
We'll let it go. Everybody realizes.
It's 65 okay. million.
Jewels.
Walked in suits, took a hostage. They changed three cars in a half a block. They have no idea. You think it's a Kearney PD trying to solve a robbery. I just said that. They have not one lead.
Remember, that's Big Daddy Tony Davis, P.O. Box Stupido, La Platte Kearney. Good Lord, are you cereal?
$65 million.
All right, 1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-ESPN. Coming up, we're going to talk with Phil Truax, the head football coach at Lexington. And we'll do that after this break right here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
We turned down the volume on all the radios in the building during this hour so as not to irritate the boss.
Double dip, double down, double the fun, all good doubles. But nothing beats double the savings at Kearney Yamaha. Right now, cash in on double savings at Kearney Yamaha when you buy a new Yamaha ATV or motorcycle. That's right, double savings. Now through the end of the month, Kearney Yamaha is having a double rebate sale. For example, buy a new Yamaha Grizzly and the guys at Kearney Yamaha will double the $700 rebate to $1,400. Buy a Yamaha Star motorcycle and the $1,000 rebate magically doubles to $2,000.
This is Terry Lobig from Kearney Yamaha, and it's our annual double rebate sale. The perfect time to save tons of money and get the Yamaha ATV or motorcycle of your dreams. There's never been a better time to get a new machine from Kearney Yamaha.
So whether you're looking for fun or a fuel-saving motorcycle, you can save up to $2,000. And farmers, if your ATV has seen better days, now is the time to upgrade and save big. Double savings now through August 30th at Kearney Yamaha, just south of I-80.
BioGuard, the products to keep your pool water soft and crystal clean. Hi, this is Doug Detterding reminding you nothing is better than BioGuard water treatment to kill bacteria and algae and to protect against scale corrosion and staining. We are the BioGuard water professionals with both the product knowledge and experience. We're Detterding Swimming Pool Headquarters, 2nd Avenue in Kearney and just south of Whiskey Creek in Grand Island.
Choose better things at Detterding's. It's a quality of life.
Dear, we're having another baby.
The changing circumstances of life often change your needs in a home. RE/MAX executives of Kearney every day prove that experience counts, having connected thousands of families with new homes. Log on to KearneyRE/MAX.com to begin your next move. Or call Rocky, Deb, Heath, Lori, or Todd.
Attention, first-time home buyers. If you buy a home in 2009, you may qualify for an $8,000 tax credit. Call RE/MAX executives of Kearney today for details.
At 308-236-SOLD.
Need tickets? Need to sell tickets? Or cars? Or stuff out of the basement or garage? Become a super fan and you can post them on free classifieds. Click on to find the deals too. ESPNSuperstation.com. ESPNSuperstation.com. Become a super fan today.
Partly sunny skies develop across the area today with a slight chance for a shower storm with high temperatures around 94. Winds will stay to the south and become gusty at times later today. Tonight we'll drop back to 66 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 81.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. It's a Wednesday, midweek. A lot coming up on the show tomorrow as well. I know there's a lot of fantasy football drafts starting to take place. In fact, talked to a few that have already done one, and I know I've got one this weekend. So Joe DeMail's with us tomorrow from FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Jason Hale from Holdridge is going to join us to talk about Duster football because Class A and B already underway. C and D with week zero. And as if it wasn't painful enough, if your football team plays somebody in week one that has a week zero game, okay, you following me?
That would have been my luck.
Then you have to forget, well, you get to, and you know that means have to practice as well. So say that you play Wood River your first game, except Wood River's playing on the 28th, you're playing September 5th. Oh, you're practicing. You're practicing. Congratulations. But today we continue our high school football parade as we head west to Minuteman Country, and we talk with Lexington head football coach Phil Truax here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Phil, good morning.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Well, we're doing great. Optimism was pretty high for your football program last season. You got things turned around, got some wins on the board, made the playoffs. I guess you can talk about it and build for it as long as you want, but until those wins actually hit the column, it probably takes a while for the kids to believe. When did you finally see that, and do you see that carrying over?
I do see it carrying over. I think last year, coming into the season, the kids really believed a lot in themselves, and it really seemed to me like from the coach's standpoint, watching the kids play every day in practice and things like that, from day one, I think they really felt that they were going to succeed, and they did. They had a really nice year, and as everybody knows, we were a pretty senior-laden team last year, so lost a lot of great kids that are going to be really hard to replace. But this group that we've got this year, we've got a great core of leaders, and the optimism's pretty good, and I really see it in their eyes that they believe that we can be just as good or maybe even better than what we were last year.
Phil, who replaces Stuart Long at quarterback?
Right now we got Tyler Tinglehoff playing quarterback for us, and a phenomenal athlete. He was a starting receiver for us last year, and we moved him in to get underneath center.
We're talking with Phil Truax right here on the Doug and Daddy Show, head football coach at Lexington. Obviously, that's one spot you always have to address. What's the other immediate spot you're looking at here in fall practice that, I got to find some young kids or somebody new?
In our in the system that we're running now, our running back is pretty important as well. We really like the zone and the stretch plays and try to utilize the field that way. And so right now we've got a really good battle at our F position, our running back position, between Zach Schmidt, who's a senior, and Patrick Berkey, who's a junior. And they are just having a great competition. So we're really excited to see how that thing turns out.
Anymore, it seems like in high school football, if you have a good year and you don't have a dominant rusher or somebody that goes for 1,000 yards, you're doing something different. You had a kid, Bryant, that went close to 1,000 last year. Do you focus on one guy, or do you like to mix it up with two or three?
Well, it's going to do us. We'll be in a lot better shape if we can have both those guys getting snaps throughout the course of the game, just so that we can keep their legs fresh and try to reduce the pounding that they take, because both those guys will be playing over on the other side of the ball, too, on defense. So if we can get them both some carries in the game, that's going to be best for our team, I think.
Phil, you mentioned the Berkey kid. Did he have an injury coming into this fall with a shoulder or something?
That's exactly right. He separated his shoulder last year. Actually, I should say he dislocated his shoulder. Yeah, worse than a separation. So he dislocated his shoulder last year, got it back, and then he dislocated the other one during basketball season.
Oh.
So he's been battling that. And he played baseball. He's a great baseball player and loves that sport. So he played baseball all summer, and his shoulders took a little bit of a beating throwing the baseball and stuff. So we've got him triple strapped, and he looks like a turtle or something with all of his shoulder braces on. But he's out here pounding away, man. The kid's tougher than nails.
Let's look at your defensive side of the ball here, Coach. Where's the strengths of your defense? Who's going to be the leader?
We have got a linebacking core that I feel is pretty darn good. I would put it up with the top 10 linebacking cores in the state in Class B. We've got about four, maybe five guys that got some starting experience coming back at backer. Leader of which is probably Patrick Berkey. He does a nice job he's just a younger guy. He's a junior, but he's a little bit vocal and really leads a lot with his actions, and he's very athletic and versatile. We can throw him out to to get into some pass coverage, or he'll stick his nose in there in between tackles. So he's doing a real nice job. But between him and Zach Binky and Quinn Roberts, you know, our linebacking core is going to be very solid, I think, this year if we can stay healthy.
Phil, I guess as you break down your schedule, it looks like McCook in the district, probably that team to beat, but wide open after that?
You know, I feel it is. Ogallala lost a little bit. They have been in our district here starting last year. And so Ogallala lost a little bit off last year's team, which I feel is going to affect them a little bit. They're still – Ogallala is always scrappy, and they're always physically tough. And they've got a few good linemen coming back, and Derek Blessing's a great back for them. So they've got some talent. But I just don't feel that they'll be quite a physically punishing team as they were last year. And then Holdridge, I feel, is going to be better. You talk to Coach Hale, and he'll never let you believe that, you know. But they're going to be better this year. Last year they played with a lot of young kids, you know, a lot of sophomores and stuff that are now going to be juniors this year. And they've got a lot of talent, too, and got, I think, a real good quarterback coming up through their system. So they're going to be better this year. And and they were good last year. You know, they were a playoff team last year. So it's going to be a pretty a dogfight, I think, between the rest of the teams. And I think, you know, I think McCook's always going to be good, and they're always a team to beat. But, I wouldn't discount Holdridge, Ogallala, or Lex in terms of coming out as a district champ.
Coach and Phil Truax joins us here for another minute on the Doug and Daddy Show. How balanced of a game are you expecting against Scotts Bluff? Here's a team that's been solid and a good test for many folks, especially if you have to go out there. But you get them at home. It's the season opening. I guess I'd say if the odds makers were making a game of this, would this be an even matchup on paper, or how do you view it?
Dead even the way I see it. They've got a talented group coming in, you know, and they're always Scotts Bluff, as far as we've always seen them. They've always been physically tough kids and came ready to compete and stuff. And last year, you know, I think we out-yarded them 2-1, but the score was 6-0, and our offense never scored. So that tells you a little bit about how scrappy they are. They find a way to get it done, regardless of whether they're, you know, dominating the rushing categories or the offensive categories or the other defensive categories. They just find a way, and it may be ugly, but that's the thing about those kids. They're scrappy. So, you know, it's going to be a dead even match. It's going to be a heck of a ball game. I think it's going to be a fun one to watch, to take part in.
Phil, another reason you guys are successful a year ago, you finally got the numbers of your program up. Are they up again, and where you like to see them?
And you're right on the money about the numbers. It's so important to us. And they're not as bad as they were my first 3 years, but they're not as good as they were last year. Right now we have 45 10th through 12th graders. And our freshmen, they start a little slower than we do. We still have our 10th through 12th graders are required to be at practice, so we know we've got all them. The freshmen, we kind of let school start before we gather in all the freshmen. So right now there's 15 freshmen, but we think we can lasso in about another 7 or 8 more. So 10 through 12, our numbers are down by about 10. The freshman group's going to be up by about 4 or 5, I think, by the time we get the rest of them in here.
Phil, I know this can be a tricky subject to talk about, but I'm interested, and I think a lot of people out there are interested. I mean, there was a big article with Sports Illustrated this past summer about the ethnicity of what's in Lexington. Are you seeing more of the non-traditional, I guess is the politically correct way to say it, kids trying out for football, or is that still not caught on yet?
No, it's getting better. It really is improving. And this year we have, you know, and it's one of the myths or one of the misnomers is they'll say, well, how many Hispanic kids do you have out, you know? And we've got about, I say we got 3 or 4 Hispanic kids that have lived in Lexington their whole lives, and their grandparents lived in Lexington their whole lives, and these kids have watched 1,000 football games. So they know it better than a lot of other kids. But we also have some, like you said, some non-traditional kids, both Hispanic and non-Hispanic, you know, white and black and Asian and whatever, who haven't ever played football before, and they're starting to – the thing that's happening is I think their friends are starting to say, you know what, you can make it. It's easy. Come on out. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, I've tried to work hard at it. I don't know how good I do at it. I'm not a great recruiter, I guess, because I don't think I've made much of a difference in getting kids out. But these other kids are really starting to make the waves. You know, the ripple effect is starting to take effect. And not in a huge – it's not a mind-blowing change from – 3 years ago till now, but it's another 4 or 5 kids every year that have never played before that we're trying to get into our system, and it's starting to go in the right direction.
Well, confidence from your peers, that goes a long way. So
yeah, you bet.
I guess having an athletic director like Kyle Hander certainly got to help as well.
I'll tell you what, man, that's what makes – that is the grease to our gears. That thing, he keeps it running smoothly all the time.
Well, at least all the coaches know they're on the lower pedestal with that pay raise he keeps getting. Hey, Phil, have a great season and take care of Jason over there, all right?
Thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate it.
Phil Truax, head football coach of the Lexington Minutemen, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I like his confidence. Some people don't think that they're going to have as great a season. Again, it just comes into how many kids can fill in roles. Sometimes you don't have a returning starter at linebacker, but your kid there is just as good as the kid that graduated. So, or pick a position, you know. And I think it's interesting that I think the more kids that they're going to be able to get out over there, being a Class B school with that diverse culture, once that takes hold, Lexington could be amazing.
Undoubtedly the biggest surprise a year ago, Phil Truax and Lexington Minutemen.
Well, Lexington was one of them. You kept waiting for them to make a move. This was a team that was at 0-1 wins for quite a while from a once just, it's extremely rich tradition, but they had been down for a long, long time, and great to see that they're pointing the right direction. It's great to see that that district, even if McCook wins it, isn't just going to be handed over to them. It's good to see that the rest of these schools, like a Holdridge, and we'll talk with Jason Hale tomorrow, like an Ogallala, who had an outstanding season last year, like a Lexington, have a point in the right direction. We're going to switch to the college scene, and Brian Munson from Scout.com joins us after this.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
Doug and Daddy will get right back to you.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. Here's the old way to meet for business. Over the phone, drive cross town, meet in person. Here's the new, better way. You meet clients and colleagues online with GoToMeeting.com. It's like meeting in person, but less time-consuming and less expensive. You start your meeting with just a click. Everyone can see your computer desktop on their computer screen. Use GoToMeeting.com to host a sales presentation, a product demonstration, or a training session. You can host as many meetings as you want for one low flat rate. GoToMeeting.com. My listeners can try it. In fact, try it free for a month, 30 days. A month of unlimited online meetings free. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, use the promo code Colin. That's GoToMeeting.com, and use the promo code Colin. The old way or the new way is so obvious.
It's the Doug and Daddy Show this morning at 11 on Central Nebraska's.
Sam takes pride in lowering his energy bills, regardless of what it takes to lower them.
Excuse me, sweetheart.
I was watching that.
But now, Trane can help fiscally minded people like Sam. Because upgrading your central air system to a high-efficiency Trane model can potentially save up to 59% on your energy bills.
Sorry, son.
Let's power back up, Sam. Then let's find you a Trane dealer.
Upgrade your current central air system with a high-efficiency Trane model at Fidelke Heating and Air in Kearney.
It's hard to stop a Trane.
Partly sunny skies develop across the area today with a slight chance for a shower storm with high temperatures around 94. Winds will stay to the south and become gusty at times later today. Tonight will drop back to 66 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 81.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Let's go back to the Dent Popper inbox. Speaking of Kevin Youkilis and anybody that would fight, Mark and Minden says the first thing Duda throws in is his mic and then his glasses when I charge the mound. Yeah, haven't ever charged the mound. If you want to fire off an email to us, it's the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com.
Doug and Daddy, just want to let you guys know you're great to listen to. Oh, first time we've heard that in a while.
I haven't heard from your mom in a while. What's going on here?
Don't know if you remember me, but you used to coach at GI Northwest, I believe. Both of you took money in fantasy football or baseball at Nathan. We wanted you to know that you truly have an entertaining show. Now the principal at one of Northwest feeder schools, so I can listen as often as I would. Can't listen as often as I'd like, but whenever possible. Keep it up, gentlemen. I most assuredly use the term loosely. Appreciate that. Enjoyed the interview with Frank very much, of course, referring to Frank Solich.
Yeah, we Frank Solich on Monday. Yeah, had him on Monday. And again, remember, folks, we are live from 11 to 12, but you can catch the Doug and Daddy Show later in the day on our podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal and the Courtyard. It's going to be a beautiful night to sit out in the courtyard, enjoy some music, get some bacon-wrapped shrimp, maybe a prime rib sandwich, and a nice cold bucket of your favorite refreshments, Cunningham's Journal and the Courtyard. And, of course, all you have to do to check out the podcast is to go to ESPNSuperstation.com. Tony, it's way early, but, of course, now throughout the rest of the season on ESPN.com, Bruce Feldman and Mark Schlabaugh will have their bowl predictions, where every team goes. And, of course, it gets more fun as it goes along. But they both have Florida and Texas in the national championship game. Anywhere else besides the Big 12 media that had Oklahoma and Texas tied for the lead or tied for the South, everybody else seems to like Texas. I picked Texas. You picked Oklahoma. But both have 9 of the 12 Big 12 schools making it in to a bowl game. Missouri and Kansas State is the only difference. They've left out, obviously, one of those two, Iowa State and Texas A&M. In their bowl projections. Both have Nebraska going to the Holiday Bowl, which would be third in the tier. You go to the national championship if all works out. Then you go...
Who's in the Cotton?
Fiesta Bowl. Then you go to us. They got Oklahoma State in the Cotton Bowl against Alabama. Both say Oklahoma State, Alabama early on. Nebraska would play a Pac-10 team if they're in the Holiday Bowl. One says California. One says Oregon, which is currently a top 15 team.
Well, we'll talk a little Nebraska football and the recruiting side of things right now with Brian Munson of Scout.com. Brian, this is your initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. Hope you can have many, many more with us, but welcome.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, guys. This part of the state, Hastings and Kearney area, means a lot to me. Of course, going to school at UNK through college, I know a lot of people back this area, so I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Well, I want to start right there then, Brian, since you brought it up with Bo Pelini coming back into Nebraska. We've talked to a lot of the Division II NAIA and even some of the high school coaches mention it. With the walk-on program trying to become strong again at Nebraska, it can affect the type of kid that ends up going to a UNK, a UNO, a Chadron, a Hastings College, a Doan, a Wayne State. It trickles all the way down. Are you starting to see that? I know these aren't four-star and five-star kids, but do you get a grasp on that in the recruiting scene?
Absolutely. This year, you know, was an exceptional walk-on class. I think 22 players were added through the walk-on side of the program. I think that number is large. I think it was more of an announcement, so to speak, from the Nebraska staff out to the area coaches that the program is back. They wanted to be a real part of their program. It's very important. I think you've heard a lot of Jeff Jambron talking about it and the tradition that's there and the importance of it to the program. But from that side of things, you know, a lot of these guys did have offers, you know, to get out and maybe do a South Dakota State or a North Dakota State or South Dakota or, you know, Kearney and Omaha definitely came up. But I think that this definitely affects the way that, you know, coaches at UNK and UNO and other schools around the state are going to have to adjust. I think that the pride and the tradition has been there for Nebraska. I think, though, that it was kind of lost in some of the years at Bill Callahan. I think it got more selective. I think there's still players that are on the team currently that were recruited for the walk-on program by Bill Callahan that are having tremendous success. I think that kind of gets overlooked, like a Drew Young, like Matt May was a recruited underneath Bill Callahan. I think that those guys are going to have great parts to go ahead and hold up as part of the team that's currently in Lincoln. But I think that what Jamrog and Bo Pelini and those guys are doing right now at the walk-on program in Lincoln is fantastic, yet it will have some ramifications across the board with Area Division II and NAIA schools that are in the state.
Brian Munson from Scout.com joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Brian, furthermore, give us an idea of what else you do besides Scout.com with your top 100 in Texas and the such.
Yeah, I live in Dallas now, and that gives me a unique opportunity to get some visibility into what's going on down here. It's given me a lot of opportunities to get out and see players play that are not only just, you know, great players in the area, but guys that are going to Division I schools and potentially to Nebraska. This became part of, I guess, what my selling point to a Super Prep magazine that pulled me in and allowed me to start doing the Texas Hot 100 for them twice a year. I also do the Arkansas Top 15.
Brian Munson joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Percentage-wise, how many of those top 100 kids leave Texas? There's so many great schools. And I don't just mean Texas, Texas A&M, Texas Tech, any school. What's the number that leaves the state of Texas that's a top 100 player?
Oh, you know, I think it's 50% and above. I think that you've got you do have some guys that are here that are, you know, definitely Texas is going to get their share. Texas A&M is going to get their share. you know, but I would say, and I when I say 50%, I do a top 125, so the top 100 is a little bit misleading, but I would say 60 of my 125 typically end up leaving the state. And those kids are getting recruited from, you know, Pac-10 schools, other Big 12 schools, SEC, you know, a lot of conferences are dipping down here now that you just didn't see here in the past 3 or 4 years. It's really become a stomping ground for all conferences.
Okay, Brian, out of that top 125, the top 10 kids, do they automatically all go to Texas?
No, they don't. Yeah, and that's really interesting. You know, this year you've got, like, Jackson Jeffcoat is this huge defensive end up here in my area in Dallas and Plano, who's a five-star, surefire guy. I've known about him since his sophomore year. Of course, father played for the Dallas Cowboys. So he is not a lock to end up at Texas. Of course, went up to the Rising Stars camp out at USC. His name out there linked to some of the biggest programs in the nation. But that's kind of like what it's getting back to here. Your Oklahoma's getting the top guys in the state of Texas. LSU's getting the top guys in the state of Texas. USC's dipping into here. Florida wants to get into Texas. You've got some of the top programs in the nation that want to come in here and still cherry-pick the state, while Texas wants to go ahead and grab, you know, if they're grabbing 22 guys, they want to get 20 to 21 of them out of the state. And Oklahoma, I think, is still at that very high percentage of whatever their class is going to be made up of. I think that they're going to go ahead and rely heavily on getting most of their kids out of the state of Texas. A lot of these guys have pipelines into certain schools, but it's not always surefire that the top one, two guys always end up going to Texas. A lot of them end up leaving the state, and Oklahoma is typically one of those teams that pulls them out.
Brian Munson of Scout.com is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Brian, when we were talking about you coming on, we've got some emails rolling in, so let's get right to this one from Ken and Carney. He says, "Boys, any way you cut it, football recruiting at Nebraska is dismal so far this year. Don't get me wrong, I like Bo as a coach, but recruiting does not appear to be this coaching staff's forte. Somebody needs to light a fire in Lincoln. On the bright side, nobody's been arrested this fall." So I guess your thoughts, Brian, on the job, and it's still early, but the job that this Nebraska staff is doing and what they've got here in 2010 so far.
Well, initially, I really sided with Ken as, you know, as late as 2 to 3 weeks ago. I did a little bit of additional research, and I've kind of drawn back a little bit from that original sentiment. I think the one thing that people have to realize here is Nebraska always wants to be strong in Texas. They're always grabbing 7, 8, 9 guys depending on the size of the class. Nebraska has zero commitments this year so far from the state of Texas. But I believe it's a total anomaly. And the reason why I say that is there's over 210 or 215 kids already in the state of Texas that are committed to go play college football. And this year is just an extraordinary year for kids that want to go ahead and get the commitments out of the way. The one thing that I guess doesn't really get touched on a whole lot here is that Nebraska isn't going to recruit a lot of guys that don't have a lot of film or they're not able to evaluate fully, I guess is what I'm trying to say. There are a lot of kids down here that don't see playing time until their senior years, or they see spotty time as a junior, maybe because of injury. And there are some guys down here that have only played JV ball and only had the spring to really prove their skills, and they're pulling Division I offers based on that limited time. And I don't think that that's a ledge that Nebraska is willing to stand out on and say, we feel confident about this offer that this guy will be a great player. Nebraska in their evaluations, I think, are very thorough. I think that they do a great job evaluating. I think they're one of the best evaluating programs in the nation. The other thing to get back to is the size of the class when it comes to the pace that Nebraska is on. Nebraska is currently sitting on, what, 5 commitments? They had 6 with Keystone Terry. This class is going to be anywhere, I think, from, you know, 16, 17, 18 kids tops. And I don't think Nebraska is going to stick their neck out and just take anybody. I think they want to be confident in their decisions on who to offer, on who to take. And I also think that, you know, they're going to blanket with offers a little bit, and then from those offers, they're going to get a better sense of what the academic situation is with a kid and what the personality situation is with a recruit. And I think the more and more information comes in from that stuff, the more and more these guys you're going to see leaving Nebraska's list, but they're not leaving Nebraska's list because Nebraska's not, you know, not getting them. I think Nebraska might be moving on and going in a different direction than some of these guys. I think the class itself, the size this year is kind of dictating the speed at which they're working. And I don't think it's too soon to, or too, I think it's way too early right now, actually, in fact, to throw in the towel on these guys. I think Nebraska's in on some very talented guys. I think that's what you have to remember. Guys like Chase Rome out of Missouri, who was there for Junior Day. you know, I think the guys like that, you can really build around those guys for years to come. And the size of this class, though, is really going to keep them down to a slower pace, making sure they get the guys that they want and addressing their needs.
Will Tyler Moore be the next commit?
You know, that's really interesting. I don't know exactly who I would choose right now to be the next commitment. That is, I like Chance Carter. I know Chance Carter's coming in for a later visit. I still think that there's a possibility that Nebraska might be able to pull him in a little bit sooner and get something out of him. Man, I'll have to go back and really review who I think of the next guy is. The last couple, you know, I thought Tyler Evans, once he got the offer, was kind of a done deal. And Terrio Sloan completely blindsided me. I had no idea basically who he was besides he had a Nebraska offer. So I have to go back and really think about who I would say the next commit was going to be. I'm sorry, I can't answer that question a little bit better.
Brian, when you look at kids that are with the Nebraska football program right now, Rex Burkhead's a kid that stuck out in a lot of people's mind. Assess his talent in coming to Lincoln.
Burkhead, let me just say this. My wife is a teacher, and when people found out my wife is from Nebraska down here, the type of people that showed up at her door basically came to her telling her about Rex Burkhead and what Nebraska got was unbelievable. It never happened before in our 10 years being down here and the 9 years I've done recruiting. Burkhead's nickname across the Dallas Metroplex, basically among the high school coaches, is Superman. And it's not a name that he chose. It was a name that was given to him. I don't think he was the fastest player in the Metroplex last year. I don't think he was too far off. I think he was the most versatile guy I've seen come down the pipe through here in a long time. I think that he's the kind of guy that can cut on a dime and lead change. I also think that he has the ability to get to a very top gear very quickly. And when I talk about his versatility, I think that he's a kickoff guy, that he's a punt return guy. I think he's a guy that you could potentially even run the wildcat with and put him in a shotgun. He's taken snaps as a quarterback. He's thrown the football before down here. He did a little bit of everything that he could for Plano. And I think that also that something that can be said, you know, everybody was really enamored with the idea of what Chase Daniel had to do or why he had to leave the state of Texas to go on to have this great career at Missouri. I don't think it's too far-fetched to think that Rex Burkhead's going to have some sort of resemblance to, I think, the way that Chase Daniel was kind of revered and thought about when it came to kids that had to leave Texas to go on to have success in a Big 12 school. I think Burkhead could be the next one of those guys.
Well, it was a pleasure catching up with you for this first time on the Doug and Daddy Show, Brian. Hopefully we can do it again soon. We appreciate your insight. Keep up the great work and enjoy the football season, which is right here upon us.
I've been waiting for it, guys. Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to talking to you again.
All right, go Lopers. Brian Munson, scout.com, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. As he said, went to UNK, and great to have him on the program today. And, of course, our Big 12 and Nebraska football previews brought to you in part by Dyna-Gro Seed. They now have SmartStax corn hybrids in their starting lineup. SmartStax, the ag industry's most advanced BT and herbicide offering available in corn today. Dyna-Gro offers SmartStax that combines 8 corn traits to provide farmers the absolute broadest spectrum of above and below ground protection available against insects and weeds versus any product in the market today. So contact your local Dyna-Gro representative to find out more about the Dyna-Gro SmartStax hybrids that are now available to order today. When we come back, we will have our first Loper Chat of the Fall with Mike Munch of the soccer team after this.
All right, this has gone far enough.
This doesn't make any sense.
Well, dude, this is really cool stuff.
More coolness in a moment with Doug and Danny at Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Today's fun fact. When casting for the movie Forrest Gump, David Alan Greer, Ice Cube, Dave Chappelle, and John Travolta all turned down the offer to play the role of Bubba, while Chevy Chase also turned down the role of playing Forrest. Today's fun fact has been brought to you by Chevy. Right now, trade in a qualifying cash for clunkers vehicle and trade up to a fuel-efficient Chevy. Your participating Chevy dealer has details. Go to Chevy.com or call 1-877-CARS-654 to see if you qualify.
This business is harder than anything I've ever done in my life.
Meet Kim Ema. She sells tasty desserts out of her treats truck all over Manhattan.
Managing cash flow is really important because things are always changing. Let's say I have a really big event coming up. I'm probably going to use my Visa Business credit card. And then there are weekly expenses where it just makes a lot of sense to use my Visa Business debit card.
Learn how Visa Business helps Kim manage cash flow in ways checks can't. Visit visa.com/gobiz. more small businesses go forward with Visa.
Hey, you smell smoke?
Yeah, it's my meat. Schroeder Smoked Foods.
It smells pretty good.
It is good.
Can I have a bite?
No.
Schroeder Smoked Foods. Pulled pork, smoked beef, and pork loin. Stop in to Schroeder Smoked Foods and dine on delicious barbecue. Or have Schroeder Smoked Foods cater your event. Pick it up. Or have us deliver mouth-watering barbecue to your special event. Online at SchroederSmokedFoods.com. On First Street, behind the First State Bank in Shelton. Schroeder Smoked Foods. Where the fire never goes out. Ooh.
ESPN Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather. Brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on 25th Street in Kearney. For a square deal and a fair shake.
If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
Partly sunny skies develop across the area today with a slight chance for a shower storm with high temperatures around 94. Winds will stay to the south and become gusty at times later today. Tonight will drop back to 66 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 81.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation on this Wednesday. Got a new feature here on the Doug and Daddy Show while school is in session. It's our Wednesday Loper Chat brought to you by the College Store located at 1420 West 24th Street in Kearney, right across from the college. If you're new to UNK, you'll want to check out the College Store. And if you have returned to class at UNK, well, sober up and get over to the College Store because they've got some great deals for you. Tony, what are you writing my copy for? What are you doing over here? No, we're looking forward to the students coming back in. And, of course, Daddy, at this time, all the athletes' fall sports have begun fall practice. And our first guest on a Loper Chat for 2009 is going to be the head coach of the UNK women's soccer program. It's inaugural season underway. And we welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show, Coach Mike Munch. Coach, good morning.
Good morning. I'm glad to be back.
Well, it's glad to have you on. I guess a lot has hopefully transpired since the last time we chatted. You were just introduced as the coach. We had you on, I think, a couple weeks after that and trying to put together a team. And now you've got 26, 27 gals that are going to try to have a decent, I guess, come together and then see what you can do on the field. Right now, where would you assess where you're at with this program?
Well, we're still very, very early. We've actually had a couple of days to try to do a few things. We've been able to put in a defensive system. We've been able to walk through it a little bit. Today we're sort of going to talk about what we're going to try to do when we have the ball and what we're going to do offensively. So it is a little bit of a learning process. And like you say, trying to put together 26 people that have never played together before is a little bit different, but we'll get there.
Mike, how long until you feel this team can be competitive?
Well, I'd like to think we're going to be competitive from day one. Soccer is a sport where you can, you know, manipulate things a little bit, play a certain way to limit what the other team can do and give yourself a chance to sneak things out here or there. Again, it may be against some of the better teams we may struggle a bit, but, you know, maybe I'm just hard-headed enough to think that we can do some things.
Mike Munch joins us here on our Wednesday Loper Chat talking about women's soccer. You're already going to get to play an exhibition game this weekend against Barton Community. You've scheduled three exhibitions. You're going to have a meet and greet with the fans on Sunday. You guys are really trying to get out there and let folks know what's going on before, oops, it's August 27th. There's a game.
That's right. That's part of what the expectation here and part of what I wanted to do was make sure that we are part of the community. You know, the exhibitions are good for us in terms of just getting ready for the season. But the things like the meet and greet, the Meet the Lopers that we're having this weekend, and some of the other things that we're doing as a part of the normal campus activities are big and important, just to let people know that we are here, that we're going to be doing things, that we're going to support the other teams. You know, it's a lot to put on the plate the first time out, but, you know, that's what you got to do, and that's what we want to do. So we're looking forward to that as well.
Well, relatively early on, or damn early on, however you want to say it here, have you selected who the leaders are? Are there a couple girls that stand out to you, Mike, early on?
Well, you know, that's not really something I've talked to the team about. I've been waiting to see if that happens sort of naturally. You know, typically in a normal situation, you're going to have some leadership coming back. If nothing else, you're going to have people that at least know what's going on. Well, you know, all of that is new now. So, you know, there's not really been anybody that stepped up. You know, we have a couple of local girls that might fill that role, but they've been hurt and have not been able to participate. So I'm still just going to give that a little bit more time and sort of see how that works out. You know, when the players become familiar with each other, they become familiar with me. And hopefully that'll work out. But nothing so far.
You do have some transfers in. I guess, Mike, what maybe Tony's alluding to a little bit, are you going to be leaning heavier on kids that have been playing collegiate soccer, or are there some freshmen that might be able to contribute right away?
Well, in terms of actually playing, yeah. I mean, transfers are going to have a little bit of advantage. You know, we've had a couple that have shown fairly well in the days that we've been out there. You know, in terms of leadership, though, that's not, you know, something that I don't think they have thought about. I think everybody's just trying to get from point A to point B on time and where they're supposed to. But, yeah, I mean, one player, Morgan Abbott, a transfer from Ripon, has really shown well. I know one of the questions that y'all asked me last time is, are we going to score some goals? Well, Morgan seems to be a player that can help us that way, and that's certainly something that you can never have enough of. So, yeah, the transfers are certainly going to help us. We're going to be able to lean on them a little bit. But, you know, we are going to have some of those freshmen step up too.
Mike, after having an opportunity to kind of look and assess the talent statewide here, about roughly, I would say, 90, 92% of the team from Nebraska, do you still see everybody coming from Nebraska basically for UNK soccer?
No. Actually, we've been, you know, putting a little emphasis on Colorado, and even within that, the metro area of Denver. We've had some good response out there. We've got a couple of commitments for next year from the state. And, you know, those kids play a very high level. They get competition, you know, quite a bit of the year round, even though, you know, they have the same winter that we do. But they're able to do some indoor and some different things. But that's part of it. But what you're saying basically is true in a sense that we are going to always rely upon the Nebraska kids. And, you know, we've spent the whole spring. I probably saw maybe 80 to 85% of the high schools that play soccer in the state over the course of the spring. So I feel like I know the players that are out there and the talent that's there. Now it's just a matter of going out there and getting some of those kids to come here.
UNK soccer coach Mike Bunch joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show for our Wednesday Loper Chat. And, Coach, what's been the toughest part of getting this first-year program going so far?
Just, I guess the stuff that's sort of away from the field. Once the players got here, even though, you know, there was so much to do, that was okay. But being my first time out, I'm learning about meal plans and dorm openings and secondary field space and all those types of things that we sort of had to work our way through. I'll be glad when I get through with this first learning year, because that's been a bigger challenge somewhat than the actual playing of the game. But, you know, everything's going to be easy the second year. We will have players returning. We will have players that know what are going on. I'll know some things that maybe I didn't know in terms of just the lay of the land. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that.
Well, Micah, we look forward again. There's a meet and greet this Sunday at Harmon Park from 2 to 4. The players and coaches will be there. There's a skill clinic for kids that are 4 to 12 years old by Loper Athletes. Also, there's going to be a lot going on with your first exhibition game against Barton County this week. You play over at Hastings College, which is all automatically going to bring some excitement, even if it is just an exhibition. And we'll keep track of the Lopers, the new program, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Very good. I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Munch joins us, our inaugural Loper Chat for 2009, brought to you by the College Store, 1420 West 24th Street in Kearney, right across from UNK.
Those teams often struggle starting out. I hope Coach Munch is right. I hope they can be competitive.
I think it'll be interesting. I don't think they're going to be a doormat. I think they've got some talent on this team. Now it's just bringing all this talent that's never played together before, and you hope they've played together a lot over the summer, bringing them together and getting the job done. So, again, next week on Loper Chat, we'll talk volleyball with UNK head coach Rick Squires. They opened practice yesterday, and, of course, we will still have Coach Daryl Morris on with our Monday Merck and Morris, and Coach Paul Merkowitz's football program gets a practice going over at Hastings this weekend. Hey, it's almost lunchtime. That means the Chicken Coop downtown Kearney and Grand Island. You might want to take some time off to watch the PGA Championship, which gets underway tomorrow. That'll be on the tube, so catch some golf, catch every Major League Baseball game that you want to watch, and, of course, with college and NFL football coming up, they've got the package. Any game that's on, you can watch while enjoying your favorite lunch or your evening special. Great food and drink specials every day, and there's not a bad seat in the house when you're open 7 days a week. They've got plenty of food. Their new taste sensation, the Chislic, melt in your mouth, tender sirloin strips, seared in your favorite wing sauce. Speaking of wings, you might just want some chicken wings. You might want some salad. You might want an appetizer.
Balls of cheese.
Could want that. You might want pizza.
Ribs.
Oh, chicken tender hoagie. It's all at the Chicken Coop, downtown Kearney and Grand Island. We want to thank the jam-packed guest list that we had on the show today, including UNK women's soccer coach Mike Munch, Phil Truax, the head football coach at Lexington High School, and from Scout.com, Brian Munson joined us today on the program. Among our guests tomorrow on the show will be Jason Hale, the head football coach at Holdridge High School, as the Dusters get ready to start things off. It's Thursday. That means Joe DeMail will join us from FantasyPlayersEdge.com, and we'll be back with a Big 12 out of Nebraska football preview as well on the show tomorrow. It looks like maybe we'll go with Ryer Greer of Colorado on the program tomorrow. We'll see. We might just pick somebody out and go with it. We'll see what happens.
That sounds good. We look forward to you joining us 23 hours from now. Once again, the Doug and Daddy Show, 1460 on your AM dial in Kearney, 1550 on your AM dial in Hastings. Thanks for joining us today on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.